Steve plans, like big party, yeah, a couple people. Everybody just go to Dan and Kayla's. If you're not quite sure what to do, just go to Dan and Kayla's, and they will feed you, and they will make sure you have a great time, and all of that. So that'll be good. Or the Boswells. Go to the Boswells. They got a big party. Everybody go there. So if you live in Rock Island, go to the Boswells. If you live anywhere else, go to Dan and Kayla's. So that'll be good. Andy walks in this morning in nothing but a t-shirt. I don't know how you do it. So at least you got him in pants. Yeah, he's not wearing shorts. So, anybody see that picture that Wendy posted? I was outside shoveling in my shorts. So I'm outside shoveling. I'm thinking I'm all bad, right? I got the hat on and everything. I get a text later that day from Andy. I didn't wear a hat. It's not cheating. Okay. But it's New Year's Eve. It's cold. Thank you guys for coming. Thank you for coming out on such a cold day. It was -7 when we left the house this morning. Thanks for making it out here. New Year's Eve is like, it's like my second favorite night of the year. Christmas Eve has got to be my first favorite night. New Year's Eve, second favorite night. In a few hours, I am going to be consuming mass quantities of foods. That should probably come with a warning label on them. I will most likely get so full that my back hurts. And really, the overall experience of my second favorite night will be one of discomfort and regret. So that will be my New Year's Eve. But at the end of the day, I'll be okay with it. It's because tomorrow is a new day, right? Tomorrow is a new year. And I will have 365 days to make up for what I do tonight. But I can make a new beginning tomorrow morning. Even this morning, I stepped on the scale. Over the holidays, I've put on a certain number of pounds. And I was like, but you know what? That's okay, because January 2nd will be a new experience for me. So I'll take care of it then. I remember about 10 years ago, I was working at a job that I really loved. I had this job that just seemed to sort of like, kind of like, fit. It was right in my wheelhouse. It was one of those things. It was like one of those jobs where it was like, you know, I pretty much got to write my own job description and just, you know, and do whatever I wanted to do. It was wonderful. I loved it. I had this great job. I was leading a ministry for young people. You were part of that ministry. I remember that. And first thing I said to Bethany was, "You're going to be a problem, aren't you?" I was working alongside some great friends. I had an opportunity to spend time with like personal heroes of mine. It was wonderful. It was like this incredible job, and I worked there for a couple of years. I felt really good about myself. I felt good about life, and then the 2008 recession came along, rolled along, and I lost my job. And I remember at the time just feeling like my world was kind of shaken. You know, like wow, I was. You know, I spent the last 3 years thanking God for this awesome job, and then it was just yanked out from underneath my feet, you know. And I had no idea what I was going to do with my life, because I thought that was it. You know, I thought basically I would stay there and work until the executive director retired, and then I would take over. I had to make a new beginning. You know, I had to make a new beginning with my life, but it started with a new beginning with what I was going to, you know, what I thought about myself. That was where it all started. I had to make this new beginning. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I just remember God just kind of bringing me back to this thought and this idea that, Lee, if you're going to have to make a new beginning. You lost your job, but it's going to have to start with you and what you think about yourself and how you imagine yourself. And remember last week we talked about how it was so important what we thought about God, how the most important thing about us is what we think about God. And you know what? The next most important thing about us is what we believe God thinks about us. And that's just so important in our thoughts about ourselves and God. And I remember going through this season of my life where I really had to be grateful for what I had. You know, I had lost my job. And for us men, we tend to kind of attach a lot of our identity to our jobs, you know. I mean, when you meet other guys, what's the first question they ask? What do you do? You know what I mean? You don't like go to a party and meet some guy, or you don't go to the gym and meet some guy, and you're working out next to some guy, and you're not sitting, you know, benches next to each other, introduced to each other, and you don't look at each other and go, "So, who do you really want to be?" You're not sitting next to each other and you're not just like, hey, what do you think God feels about you? No, usually the first question is, hey, what do you do? What do you do? Well, I work over here, I do that. And so, you know, it's sort of an identity shaker when you lose your job as a man. And I had to find my value in what God says about me instead of my job, you know. And I had to grow in areas where there was previously no need to grow. A lot of times we only grow in areas where we need to grow, right? I mean, you know, let's be honest, most of us don't grow unless the pressure to grow is greater than, you know, the comfort of staying where we are. You know, we tend to only grow as much as we can tolerate pain. Anyway, we're not going to get into that. But the new beginning eventually led me to start this church, right? So that was actually where the whole journey started to where we started this church. And I wouldn't trade this experience for anything. And so actually losing my favorite job of all time led me to God bringing us to the point where in September of 2011, we started Mercy Vineyard, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. And so maybe you've kind of gone through things like that in your life. Maybe you've gone through a transition in your life where you lost the job and you ended up transitioning into something you love. Has that ever happened? I'm just curious. You lost a job and you're really bummed out and you ended up And it's all of a sudden, it's like, but when I lost my job, I found something else that I just really loved, you know? And or maybe you received a discouraging health report, right? And it set you on a path to lose weight and get stronger and gain more energy. You know, sometimes bad news from the doctor is what we need to ignite the fire to get in a better physical condition and have more energy and things like that. And so I've known people who've had heart attacks, and it was just horrible. And then, like, you know, 6 months later, they were down 30 pounds, and they were so happy that they lost the weight, and they felt real good, and they, you know, had gotten their health in order. It was because they had gotten bad news, right? Or maybe you've overcome an addiction, right? And you made a new beginning and experienced inner healing and peace that you didn't know before. A lot of people who overcome addictions discover things and grow in ways that they've never grown before. And, it, you know, that sort of confrontation that led to overcoming their addiction brought them into some really healthy areas and it helped them grow. Or maybe you found out, kids, that you were failing a subject in school. Now, I know none of you kids have ever failed a subject in school, and you never will, right? Wow, you guys are awfully quiet, kids. Yeah. Aaron, you were going to pass every subject with straight A's, right? Aaron, for every A you get, I predict your dad's going to give you $20. So, no pressure. Okay, so, and then you started over again, or you found out how excited it is to learn and to get good grades. I remember when I was in high school, I hated it, and then I went into college, and I hated that. And then, like, years later, 20 years later, I went back, and I started taking some college courses, and I loved them. You know, I just kind of made a new start, and I sat in the classes, and I absolutely loved them, even though I was the old guy. You don't want to be the old guy in a Black Hawk class. It's so strange. You know, everybody's looking at you. Are you the teacher? No. And so, but, you know, and I loved it. So whatever it is, I believe that our God is a God of new beginnings. That we have this God that just, he's passionate about new beginnings, about, you know, second chances and third chances. In fact, in Lamentations 3:23, he says that his mercies are new every morning. They're new every morning. That in Revelations 21:5, he says that he's making all things new. He's making all things new. And in Isaiah 43:18, he says, look, I'm doing a new thing, right? And so we have this God that's really into new things, making things new. Let's start over. He's a God of just infinite chances, infinite new beginnings. I love that about God. I love it. Okay? And so tomorrow doesn't simply just have to be a new year for us, but it can be a new beginning. And it can be a new beginning for you and for me and whatever area of your life. You can experience newness. You can experience newness. You can begin again. How do we get there, though? Isn't that important? It's important to know. How do we get there? We're going to talk about that, but first let's pray, okay? Okay. God, we love you so much, and we thank you that you are a God of new beginnings. You are a God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances. God, that there's just something about new. You're like evergreen, God. You're ever new. And Lord, we can spend our lives pursuing you. And it never gets old because there's always something new. God, it's like every time we read through your word, we discover something new, and we seek your face, we discover new things about you. God, you are all about new, and we love you so much. We pray, God, that you would let your word come alive in us today. Lord, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you more. You are awesome, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to look at Ephesians today, one of my favorite books. And this is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 30. And it says this, it says, "Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him," verse 22 says, "throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes." And then it says in verse 24, "put on your" what? "New nature." Put on your new nature, created to be like God. Everybody say, like God. Like God. This is so important, okay? So Scripture is saying, put on your new nature, created to be like God. So if you're going, well, what's my new nature supposed to look like? What's my new nature supposed to be like? What is my new nature? It's that God wants us to be like him. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. There's so much in there. Like, honestly, those nine verses could be nine sermons. Really, and so we kind of packed a lot in there. So I'd really encourage you, you know, if you want to jot notes down, or if you got a note, if you got a bulletin with the fill in the blank notes on the back, you know, take that home with you and maybe reread that scripture a few times this week, meditate on it. There's so much in there, but we're just gonna kind of extract a few things out of there this morning about new beginnings, okay? And so the first thing is this. This is so important. If you remember one thing this morning, remember this: Hadouken. I forgot that I put that background in with these. So new beginnings. Why did I put that there? Oh, sometimes we have to hit the reset button, don't you? You guys ever be playing a video game and you're losing it and you're like, this sucks, and then you're like, reset button. So, yeah. So we're hitting the reset button today. But if you remember one thing, remember this: a new beginning starts with a new heart. A new beginning starts with a new heart. God is so your heart is so important to God. Your heart is of utmost importance. And so for me, the journey from losing a job that I really love to starting a church that I really love and that I call my family, it began with a change in my heart. It didn't begin with an idea. It didn't begin with sitting down going, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do? What are we going to do? It really began with a change of heart, a new heart. Okay, because I remember when the idea of planting a church was presented to us, I kind of like laughed. That's for losers, you know. Like I remember just my whole attitude about it was just like, I do not want to do that. That's the last thing on my heart, right? So it began with a change in my heart. And so we get so focused on the externals of life. We get so focused on what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And when things are going wrong in our lives, or we get bad news, or we're kind of faced with a transition, a lot of times that's the first question we ask is, what am I going to do? What should I do? We'll go to our friends and we go, hey, what do you think I should do? What should I do? And I remember there was a girl in our that was a volunteer actually in the ministry, And every few months she would come to me and she'd say, you know, what do you think I should do? You know, I have this opportunity, I have that opportunity. What do you think I should do? And we get so caught up in what am I supposed to do? What should I do? But really, what God is far more concerned about is who are you going to be? God's so much more interested in your becoming and who you are than he is in about what you're going to do. Because you know what? To be honest with you, what you're going to do is going to flow out of who you really are. And so God's just far more concerned about who you are than what you're going to do. He's really more concerned about just what you value. And we have to, those are questions that we have to ask ourselves when we're faced with transitions, when we're faced with possible new beginnings, is, you know, what do I value? Who am I really? And it's who you are. A new beginning starts with a new heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart, for above all else, it determines the course of your life. Okay? It's not this. It's not what am I going to do and thinking and strategizing. That doesn't necessarily determine the course of your life. That helps to carry you through things. But it all begins right here. It says, guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. So for most of us, we never see the new beginnings that we're longing for until we deal with our hearts. It's about our hearts. Until we give them to Jesus and we allow Jesus to forgive and to heal and to lead our hearts. Does it make sense? That's not above anybody's head. Is it, kids, is that above your head? All right, good. I'm glad you're tracking with me. Okay, right? So how do we do this according to Ephesians 4? The first thing is, Ephesians 4:22 says, throw off the old way of life. You can't make a new beginning if you're holding on to the old life, right? You can't read the next chapter of the book if you're still rereading the last chapter over and over again, okay? And so we have to throw off the old way of life. And so if your life looks just like it did before you became a Christian, or worse, could happen, then there are areas in your heart that you need to surrender to Jesus. You know, we a life of following Jesus is a life of surrender. If he's our king, then we're going, okay, God, you're in charge, you're Lord, not me. And so when we have these sort of areas that sort of carry over, and there's not a whole lot of change, and we're not walking in greater righteousness and holiness, right, according to verse 24, putting on the new nature that is like God, truly righteous and holy. If we're not growing in righteousness and not growing in holiness, it means that there are areas of our heart that we have not surrendered to God. Okay? And so it begins with a new heart. We throw off the old way of life. Okay? And so verse 24 says to put on that new nature. So we should be moving toward living like Jesus more and more every day. So I know, like, not to sound like cliche, right? Because you guys remember the whole WWJD bracelet thing, right? And does anybody still have a WWJD bracelet? Anybody? You got one? All right. So, you know, that's okay. I've got a What Would Karen Do bracelet at home. It's a WWKD. And so every once in a while, like, oh, what would Karen do? Especially if I'm, like, super impatient about something. What would Karen do? And so, you know, WWJD. But it's, you know, there's some truth to that. And there are times when we need to sit down and examine our lives and go, I don't know, would Jesus be watching this? I don't know. I don't even know if my mom would be watching this. You know, moms have a gift for walking in the room at the worst possible moment of any movie or TV show. Right, Ma? Like, I remember growing up, I'm like a teenager, I'm 15 years old, whatever, and watching something that's completely, you know, completely innocent. My mom walks in the room, F-bomb, you know. And I'm talking about my mom, not the movie. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody, my mom's in the back row. So, no, but like, you know, it's so funny. But when my mom watches, would Jesus be watching? Would Jesus consume this much booze? Would Jesus be using this kind of language? Would Jesus be treating his body this way? Would Jesus be treating other people this way? Would Jesus be if Jesus were raising my kids, would Jesus raise my kids this way? You know, and I have to ask that question about the church all the time. How would Jesus run this church? How would Jesus lead this church? And it's such an important question to ask. It's about Jesus when it's about the choices. And if our lives aren't reflecting the kind of character and choices that we believe Jesus would make, then we need to ask God to put his nature in us. Then we need to ask God, God, where have I not surrendered to you? God, where have I not surrendered my heart to you? Okay? And ask him to be king of every part of us, every part of us, every part of us. And remember, we've talked about this before. Why do we hold back on God? Why do we not surrender certain areas of our life to God? Why do we not, you know, why do we not give God our relationships sometimes? Why do we not give God our choices sometimes? It's because at the end of the day, a lot of times we really, really, really don't trust that God wants what's best for us, that God has something better, right? So if God is saying, hey, you know, it's so funny, like in Scripture, we look at like the Ten Commandments, we look at things like that, we look at kind of like the do's and don'ts of the faith, just so to speak, you know? And we're like, oh, God must be some sort of, you know, like killjoy, cosmic killjoy, right? You know, for every time that God says, hey, you know what, maybe you should not do that, well, he doesn't say maybe, because, you know, he makes commandments. There's commandments, not suggestions, you know? Every time that God says, hey, don't do that, it's because he, number one, he loves us, but it's because he protects us, right? He protects us. And he provides for us. And so God's no's aren't killjoy no's. It's because he's got something better. He's got something better. And, you know, just like kids, we got kids. My kids, I remember my kids going through, you know, when they were smaller, much smaller, like 13. And I'm just kidding. When they were much smaller, you know, and we'd go through the store and they'd want something on the shelf. And it was like, maybe it's a ball, or maybe it's a little toy. You ever been in Walmart, you see a kid throwing a toy because he wants something, and the parents are like, I'm going to take you outside. We're not going out for ice cream. I didn't know we were going out for ice cream, but we're not going to now because you won't shut up. And, you know, and like parents make these threats to their kids. These kids are just throwing fits, but because they want this useless piece of garbage, right? It's this completely useless piece of garbage, and they're throwing a fit over it. And they're just, they're crying, they're screaming, and parents are embarrassed. And it's just like, oh, you know, I'm going to take away your NASCAR sweatpants if you don't stop it, you know? And so it's just like, and they're just throwing a fit over it. But it's because the parent is looking at this useless piece of garbage, and they know better. Because the parent knows better that giving them this useless piece of garbage, they might be happy with it for five. By the time they get home, it's going to be left on the floor of the car. Right? Now, does that mean that the parent is some sort of killjoy? Doesn't want them to be happy? Is just being a jerk by saying, don't, no, I'm saying no to that? No, it doesn't. It's just that the parent knows better. And a lot of times we, as believers, we say we will look at God like he's some sort of killjoy because he's saying, don't do that, right? But that's not the case. It's just that he knows better. And when we get upset, it's because we don't trust. We don't trust, right? And so we need to trust God that he knows best, that he cares about every part of our life. And we want him to be king of every part because he knows better. And it's not so that we can just sort of like white knuckle it through life to live a righteous and holy life. That's not the point. But it's so that God's character can flow naturally out of us because he lovingly has our heart. Okay? And we want his character to naturally flow out of us. That's why some people, have you ever noticed some people, they're kind of walking in holiness, but they're super grumpy. Right? They're super grumpy. It's because they haven't let God change their heart. They're not letting God's character just sort of naturally flow out of them. There's not that relationship happening. There's not that lovingly, Jesus, I love you, and here's my heart. It's that, you know, onward Christian soldiers, you know. And so we have to understand that there's a difference there. And we want to continue to surrender our hearts to God and that he can, so he can lovingly put his character in us and it flows out of us. So the next thing is this. Let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Okay? And so our attitude determines our altitude. We've talked about that before during our attitude series. Our attitude determines our altitude. Your attitude changes everything, right? The right attitude can turn the worst situation into an opportunity for growth. The right attitude will allow us to see things that instead of they annoy us or put us out or whatever, we see things as opportunities to be Jesus for other people. And so the right attitude can turn the worst situation into an opportunity for growth. The right attitude can make a difference between giving up and discouragement or being determined to succeed. The easiest way to change your attitude, if you're struggling with attitude issues, is to practice gratitude. Right? We talked about that a little bit last week, too. You know, the easiest way to change your attitude is to practice gratitude. And I talked about the job that I had. Mom, remember when I worked at Hewitt? Hated that job. I'd leave the house at 6:30 in the morning, drive through, you know, Chicago suburb traffic, had, you know, get there, worked in a cubicle, had all my phone calls recorded, and then, you know, assessed. They would give me feedback on my phone calls. And I was on the phone all day, people yelling at me. Just absolutely hated it. And I remember every day just going, okay, but God, thank you for giving me the opportunity to make wealth. Thank you for giving me strength and two hands and two eyes and two ears to be able to sit and listen to these phone calls and do this job and get paid and put food on the table for my family. Thank you. Okay? And so the right attitude can change everything. Even the act of trying to come up with things to be thankful for actually has a positive impact on your attitude. Did you know that? So if you're like, I've got nothing to be thankful for, but I'm going to sit and I'm going to try to think of at least three things to be thankful for. Just the act of sitting there trying to think of things to be thankful for actually has the same impact on your brain chemistry as actually being thankful for something and speaking those out loud. Isn't that crazy? God so loves gratitude that he has built into our bodies the same rewards as actually having something to be grateful for, just thinking of something to be grateful for. Isn't that awesome? Okay, so just the mere act of trying to come up with something to be thankful for has a positive impact on our attitude, our energy level, our health. Okay, and so sometimes we just have to ask ourselves, what will I choose to be thankful for? What am I going to choose to be thankful for? Okay, and third, speak the truth. Speak the truth according to Scripture. When we're dishonest to others about the condition we're in, when we try to impress others or downplay our shortcomings, we deceive ourselves and we get stuck right where we are instead of moving forward. How many of you have ever met somebody who, like, how you, every time you ask them, how are you doing? How can I be praying for you? And they're like, oh, no, I'm fine. No, I'm fine. And then 6 months later, their marriage falls apart. You know, 6 months later, they lose their job because of addiction. Because they're not being honest. They're not being honest with themselves and they're not being honest with others. We have to be honest about our assessment of ourselves and our situations and honest when we talk to other people, okay? And so speak the truth or you can't move forward. Denial ain't just a river in Egypt, right? Okay? So if you're struggling to overcome a habit, then tell the truth. If you don't give your best at your job but then you lose it, don't blame office politics. Guys, ever know that guy? Got fired, got fired, got fired, got fired, got fired. Every time, their fault, their fault, their fault, their fault. Right? Because they're not being honest about themselves. They're not going to move forward. Okay? Just own it. Just own it. That's how you're honest. You can only move forward if your feet are on something solid. So stand on the truth. Right? You tweet that one, yo. Mm-hmm. Hashtag new you. Okay? You can. My mom's learning how to use Twitter. Hashtag new you, Mom. So you can only move forward if your feet are on something solid. So stand on the truth. Stand on the truth. Okay? Next thing. Encourage others in their efforts for a new beginning. Encourage others in their efforts for a new beginning. One of the easiest ways to attain what you desire is to help somebody else get it. Right? So if you're trying to be more honest, help somebody else be more honest. If you're trying to give up a habit, you partner with somebody else, help somebody else give up a habit. If you're trying to better yourself, help somebody else, okay? When you're helping someone else to get healthy, you get healthy, right? You help somebody else to grow, you grow, okay? And so when you're helping somebody else to grow in Jesus, it helps you to grow in Jesus. It motivates you. It brings accountability. Encourage others in their efforts for a new beginning. And the last thing is this. This is so important. The last thing is remember whose you are. We have to remember whose we are. Sometimes we forget who we are. We forget whose we are. Remember whose you are. When I lost my job and I felt like I kind of had this identity crisis, as being this ministry director or whatever, it was crazy. And I had to remember whose I was. God brought me back to being his son. God brought me back to his son. And I remember reaching a point just in my life where I just thought, you know, it really doesn't matter what I do next. It doesn't matter what I do next because I'm his, right? Because when you're a king's kid, you can set up chairs or you can pastor a church or you can do anything in between or you can do whatever. It doesn't matter because you're a king's kid. It's about whose you are, right? It's about whose you are. And when you know that you're a king's kid, it doesn't matter what your external titles are. Okay, God brought me back to being his son. He reminded me that being his child was the most important thing about me. And who I am is what he says about me, not my job title, not my home address, not my income level, nothing else. It's about what he says about me. We have to remember whose we are, Okay? And so when we remember whose we are, it brings everything into perspective, and we can make a new beginning that starts with Jesus making everything new in our hearts, everything new in our minds, and it flows outward into our choices and into our actions. A new beginning starts with a new heart, right? A new heart. And so this morning what I want to do is I want to close. I just want to pray for people. You know, what a perfect day to pray for people who are trying to make a new beginning somewhere. Right? Maybe it's a new beginning in your job. Maybe it's just a new beginning and you're like, hey, I need to make a new beginning in the way I parent my kids, or I need to make a new beginning in my health, or I need to make a new beginning in my determination to grow in Jesus, or I need to make a new beginning. And I just want to pray for people today who are just like, I need to make a new beginning somewhere in my life. Right? And Wendy, why don't you come up here with me? Okay? Because God doesn't want us to be stuck. That's how God helps to get us unstuck, is with new beginnings. Isn't that great that if you feel stuck, God says, that's okay, let's make a new beginning. If you feel stuck, you know, I know for me, sometimes I get stuck in my health, you know, my weight or wherever, and I get stuck, and I'm just so glad I can make a new beginning. And then God says, hey, that's okay, let's make a new beginning. You know, sometimes we get stuck in our relationships, stuck in our marriage, stuck in our parenting, stuck in our jobs, and God says, that's okay, we'll just make a new beginning. And if you're here today, and maybe you wanted to make a new beginning in your career, or maybe you're trying to make a new beginning somewhere, or overcoming a habit or whatever, and you just feel stuck, God wants to help you make a new beginning today. And so let's do this. I'm just going to stand here. If you're here and you're just like, hey, you know what? Yeah, there's an area, one area or more that I want to make a new beginning in. Will you just stand up with me? And Wendy and I are going to pray with you. We pray that God just gives you the grace. He gives you the strength. He reminds you whose you are. It's so important that we understand whose we are, that God infuses you with a new spirit of honesty, that God just puts in you the desire to help others make their new beginning, right? God helps you. I mean, we just want to pray for you. God wants to do, you know what? God wants to help you make a new beginning even more than you want to make a new beginning, you know? That's the incredible thing about it. And so we just want to pray for you. And if you see somebody standing near you, won't you just, just kind of put your hand on their shoulder and pray for them. Just take a look around. That's okay. Everybody gets to play. We're the church. This is where we get to be the church body. And so this is what the body does. We love each other and we pray for each other, okay? And so go ahead and put your hand on the shoulder of somebody standing, and we want to pray for you. We want you to pray for them, okay? Do you feel like the Holy Spirit saying that? Okay, let's pray. Father, we love you so much because you are the God of new beginnings and we are yours. And Lord, I pray that you would just keep bringing us back to that we are yours. And Lord, no matter how many times, God, we kind of get stuck, or we get stuck in old habits or whatever, God, I pray, Lord, that you would lift us out of that by your grace. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to live lives that are fully surrendered, that our hearts would be fully surrendered to you more and more and more and more. God, that 2018 would be the year, God, where any area that we've held back, that we've not given you control, that we've not surrendered to you because of bitterness or just incorrect thinking or wrong attitudes or just whatever, God, that we would surrender those areas of our lives and our hearts to you and give you complete control, because you, God, know so much better, and we trust you, and we love you, we know that you love us. God, I just pray for just that newness, that new spirit, that newness. Oh, God, we love you so, 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 so much. New beginnings. I just proclaim this, new beginnings. New beginnings. And I rebuke discouragement. God, those people here that have tried to make new beginnings or have tried this and tried that, and oh, they've just kind of grown discouraged and have just kind of believed the lie that they're just stuck where they're at, and that's just their fate, God. I just pray against that in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that with you, we're never stuck. There's no such thing as hopeless when we're with you. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you, God.
God, I just ask that you would change our view of you. Mm-hmm. That you'd help us to see you for the loving, caring, wonderful Father that you are, that you are not trying to make us miserable, God. Mm-hmm. You are not. just expecting us to do all these things that you want us to do, but you are a loving, gracious Father. And God, I also pray that you would help us to see you as one who does not grow weary of us. Mm-hmm. When we do fail, or when we do trip up in the same areas over and over again, you do not grow tired of us.
Yes, God.
You just love us, and you pick us back up, and you walk through it with us. And God, I pray that against any thoughts of God has got to be tired of me by now, because he is not. Mm-hmm. He loves you. You are his child, and he does not grow tired.
Thank you, Jesus. Back when I was putting this together, I felt like Galatians 6:9 was a word for some of you. Let's not grow tired in doing what's good. At the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And I really think that when Scripture's saying, don't get tired of doing what's good, it's not simply talking about don't get tired of doing ministry. A lot of times we read that and we think, don't get tired of doing ministry. Don't get tired of doing what's good could be don't get tired of taking care of your health. Don't get tired of loving your spouse. Don't get tired of growing and you know, doing good can be so many things. Don't get tired of doing good. At the right time, you're going to reap a harvest, okay? Don't get tired of trying to change. Don't get tired of trying to break that habit. At the right time, you're going to reap a harvest. Don't get tired of doing good. And so I really feel like that was for some of you. Don't get tired. And so God, we thank you for that word. God, we pray that you would help us to be a people who, God, no matter how many times we fall, we pick ourselves back up because we're not going to get tired of doing good. No matter how many times we fail in an area that we're trying to overcome, it doesn't matter. At the right time, we're going to reap a harvest. We're not going to get tired of loving our children. We're not going to get tired of loving our spouses. We're not going to get tired of trying to do good in our businesses and in our jobs. We're not going to get tired, God. At the right time, we'll reap a harvest. God, keep that in our hearts. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, you guys can have a seat. And so the worship team, if the worship team wants to come up, that would be fantastic. And so they're going to lead us in one last song. And listen, if you need prayer, we've got a full prayer team back there today, and they would love to pray for you for anything at all. All right? Sound good? Thank you, Linda.
Let's stand together. Let's just worship him and let him fill us up.